This is a CC Radio podcast.
Welcome to the Countdown Movie and TV Reviews Podcast. Today we're going to review Spider-Man Far From Home for you kids. My name is Wayne.
And my name is Paul. Great to have Wayne back after last week. He was suspiciously absent from the podcast as Judy from Shaken Not Nerd and I covered Child's Play.
I like to call it bitching in action.
Accurate. All right then, into this week. So a big film, and it's just dropped a couple of days ago in the States. Actually dropped a week before in China and Japan, and we were very fortunate to see it very early with thanks to Kathy Sharp from Sony for the advance screening tickets. And we're going to come at you with our thoughts, obviously, today. But first of all, the vital statistics, directed by John Watts, returning from Spider-Man Homecoming. Produced, of course, by Kevin Feige and Amy Pascal. It's written by Chris McKenna and Eric Summers. And stars Tom Holland, Samuel L. Jackson, Zendaya, Kobe Smulders. I'm not sure how she's so high in the cast listing.
Me neither.
Jon Favreau and Marissa Tomei, of course, and Jake Gyllenhaal.
Sure.
It is 129 minutes long, and the budget is reported at $160 million, with, incredibly, already $71 million returned, given that we are recording this before it opens in the States.
Oh my God, this stuff is a money machine. It's a money printing press. So
just China and Japan alone from the Thursday night's previews, Friday and Saturday, it's made $71 million. The estimates are, for the record, let's see how close they end up being to being correct. Sony are saying it will make $154 million debut domestically.
Mm.
And some, though, are saying it could go as high as $200 million.
It probably will.
When it opens. And as I said, China opening was the fourth biggest superhero film in the country of all time to this particular point of the weekend.
Good Lord.
So, yeah, it's doing very well. The critical response is generally quite positive. 91% positive on Rotten Tomatoes, which means 3 stars or above. And Metacritic has it at 69 out of 100 reviews.
Can you buy stock in Marvel? Oh, it'd be already too high. Never mind.
Yeah. Sorry, 69 out of 39 reviews. My apology.
Okay.
That's an average score. All right, nice. Wayne. Without, of course, no spoilers here for the first half of the episode, what is Spider-Man Far From Home about?
Far From Home is, of course, a sequel to Spider-Man Homecoming. In this one, Spider-Man is taking a vacation via a class trip to Europe, but as we saw in the trailer, he can't because, like, Nick Fury is all like, no, we need your help. And then so they discover a dude from a different planet named Mysterio, or from somewhere else, rather. And he's come to Earth to fight bad guys called the Elementals, which are big-ass monsters who destroy planets and shit. And Mysterio has crazy badass powers where he can shoot green-ass beams from his hands and whatnot. He's helping Nick Fury and Spider-Man fight the elemental monsters. Thing is, Spider-Man doesn't want any of this shit. He's just trying to be on vacation and try and get some innocent play with him and MJ. And, you know, he's not trying to be a damn hero. Just wants to get his spider thing slammed. What? That's the movie.
It is
That's as far as I can tell you anyway.
Yes, exactly. There was a big thing about don't give spoilers on this on the advanced screening. And,
yeah, because
there
really
are
important.
Some big stuff. So you're only going to really talk about sort of certain aspects of the film very, very generally before we'll have to get into spoilers pretty quickly. So Wayne, overall impression, Spider-Man Far From Home, good, bad, or, you know, somewhere in the middle.
I think it's that last one, although, because when I was watching it, I was sitting there going, I was really expecting a bit more. I was thinking it as I'm watching it, right? I would say that I liked this film fine. I liked it fine. I don't believe it was as good as Homecoming, but it's okay. It has its flaws, but it's also unoffensive to watch. It made me laugh a few times, not all the time, but a few times. Not every single thing works, but the magic of the Tony Stark ghost and the special effects are amazing. Pretty amazing.
Mm.
That it makes it still a Marvel movie. It's a spectacle. Spider-Man has always been lower range. Like, it's sort of like he's not necessarily saving the world.
He's a friendly neighborhood.
Yeah.
Spider-Man. And that's what happened. This time, he ain't.
Well, yes. Now he's a world neighborhood Spider-Man. And that is... this movie makes a very brave decision, and all I can say is it makes a brave decision. There you go.
Okay. Good. Stay vague. I mostly agree with what you said there. I don't think this is a spectacular film. I'm thinking for the first time ever, superhero fatigue is starting to settle in. I think post the big...
Because it all happened, right?
Endgame phenomenon.
Yeah.
And this is meant to be, and I incorrectly said on our Endgame review, that was the final film in Phase 3. No, this is the final film in Phase 3. And I have to say, I'm like,
This is it, right?
In Phase 3.
Okay, so then now it's who knows what.
Phase 4, yeah. Moving on from here, obviously.
What could that possibly... Yeah, okay.
So, I don't know. I have to say the trailers didn't blow my skirt up very high at all. I wasn't that excited about this movie. I'm glad to have seen it. I'm glad that we had the opportunity to see, see it early. And it was fun. I 100% agree with you. I think the first half of the film is extremely flawed plot-wise. And the way the film, the second half, when it course corrects, and that's a big spoiler, how it does so, I thought it got much better. I thought it settled into its groove. Things were working much more nicely. There was a couple of impressive action set pieces. And as you said, the special effects, as always, are pretty good here.
Yeah.
Although I did notice a few ropey elements a couple of times.
Okay.
So it's not perfect. I think Tom Holland is excellent as Spider-Man. He is by far the best Spider-Man we've ever had. As far as I'm concerned, that debate is closed.
Yeah, you're probably right.
He personifies that young sort of Peter Parker, 17 years old, or whatever he is in this movie, and it's perfect.
And that's such that's a huge character. That is a huge part. I think Peter's story is essentially a good one. It's like the whole world is now asking, who's the new Iron Man?
Yep.
And like the idea is that it might be him, and that hangs heavily over his head, and he's just a kid, and he doesn't know what he's doing.
And that works, because he's 17 years old, and he just, as you said, wants to chase some tail and have some fun with his
friends.
That's
right, and he's even looking to shirk a little responsibility, which is very not hero-ish. Kind of good.
Yeah, and that all works as far as this film, and I think that naturally arcs on from Endgame. However, the threat and all, it was very poor for me.
Okay, so
and we're moving into spoilers here, so I'm we'll just say that part and say no more and hold it for the rest after spoilers. If you are a Spider-Man fan, you're going to get your rocks off just fine.
That's the thing. If you like the you know the Avengers and all that, you're going to see this anyway. I don't even have to tell you. Right?
Of course,
so that's
you're
fine. So you're going to be okay with it. In my opinion, the best thing about the movie is Jake Gyllenhaal. I think he's charming as hell. I think I'm becoming a fan of his.
You weren't a fan of his before?
Before it was all like, oh, because like Prince of Persia was kind of when I saw like Donnie Darko and stuff. I hadn't seen that till later, right? So then Prince of Persia, I heard was a bomb. Nightcrawler is where I was like, holy shit, he's got mega talent. And that's from there, it's been all good, right? So, but like if you, when he's Mysterio and he's interacting with Spider-Man, he's absolutely like the hero Gotham deserves. Wrong franchise. Like
weird apologies to all Marvel/DC
fans.
No,
but like if you take the performance at face value, as the audience member, you get exactly what you want. He's humble, he's good looking, he risks his own life to save others, he's charming and nice, and it's like he wants to take care of Peter. You know, like I was sitting there going, like he's the Tony Stark
surrogate, but he's much nicer.
Very much so, right? And he's all cool. And by the way, that Mysterio design of that character, right? So I've known fleetingly like Mysterio what he looks like with that bulb on his head, like fucking fishbowl on his head, right?
Exactly.
In the comics, I'm like, who drew that? That is the dumbest thing, right? And it's got a shitty cloak. They make it in this movie, they make that okay. Now that's not easy to do. Whoever's like the designer here is very, very impressive. So that's something. And I think MJ, what did you think about MJ? Because I didn't like her in the first movie.
Well, she's much better here because she's much more prominent.
Yeah, in the last movie she's like, I'm MJ. I'm like, are you though?
Yeah, well, she was just the annoying, snarky side character in Homecoming.
And now she's at least a bit of an emo queen who's smarter than the other kids. That's fine. That's better. You know what I mean? Now I got something I can hang on to. So I liked her a bit more. So that was something. It's a coming of age story again, but he's coming of age. What do you want?
And the mates, I think the funniest parts of the film are generally his friends.
Okay, let's talk about this, though. That whole Ned Leeds romance with the girl, why are you wasting my fucking time? That was so boring.
I laughed.
Did you like that?
I laughed.
I was like, this is stupid. Shut up.
All right.
I'm like, come on, man. Really?
I think their shtick was the only funny bits in the pretty much the first half of the film.
What, the sweetie, honey, this, that, right? Like, come on, baby. I'm sorry, babe. Man, I was just like, don't be a bitch, Ned.
It's more how they got
don't
into
Don't be
it.
Another fat bitch, right? We've seen fat bitches.
You mean him?
No, him. He's a fat ass who's just like getting whipped by a bitch. That happens all the time. Maybe just because it happened to me.
All right. Well, that's probably all we can say really without spoiling too much more. Go and see it. Go and see what you think. We'll give our final scores at the end, but we're both sort of middling on the film. It's not a bad film by any stretch.
No, not at all.
But neither is it a knockout of the park amazing film to follow up Avengers Endgame.
Absolutely not.
Yeah, when Metacritic says 69 overall, I think that's actually tad generous, I'll just say that.
We'll see. We'll see.
All right, then. So, into spoilers on the other side of this, if you're staying around, you are prepared for every plot development to be spoiled. Spoiler. All right, Wayne.
Here it is.
Now you can speak freely about the film and indeed the big plot turning point as well.
Okay, so here's the big twist, folks. You find out about an act-in. That
halfway,
right?
Yeah, I'd say a good hour into the film.
That Jake Gyllenhaal is in fact not Mysterio. He is tech, a lead tech at Tony Stark's company, who, with other tech people in that company who are disgruntled with Tony Stark, have gotten together to create these drones that basically project images and fake-ass monsters attacking the world, and similarly make him into Mysterio, who can whoop their ass with green lasers and shit. The whole thing is fake. He's just a pissed off employee, and he wants to get Peter to give him the keys that Tony Stark bestowed upon him.
Yeah, so Edith is basically the keys to Tony Stark's technology empire. He can command drones and satellite shit and all this kind
of stuff. Basically, you can just point at someone and say, kill that guy, and it'll bust a drone down and whoop that ass. So
yeah, in one of the weak scenes in the first half of the film, they make that point really poorly when...
That was probably the low point of the film.
That was terrible. Really. And I turned to you and I just said, that was completely unnecessary.
I'll just tell you what happens. Basically, Peter Parker's on the bus with his foot, with his like class and stuff like that. He accidentally looks at this guy who's trying to hook up with MJ, hates him, and then says to Edith through the glasses that Tony gave him that dude is a target. So yeah. Then the
and satellite... And he says, would you like me to take him out? She's like, yeah, that'd be great or whatever it is.
Yeah. Deploys a bloody drone from space and it flies and follows the bus and starts firing. Now, he, for some reason, Paul pointed this out, Peter didn't have the presence of mind to say cancel strike or something like that.
No.
He just instead like jumped through the fucking top of the bus and shot webs.
He jumped through the sun roof and shoots webs at the drone to stop it. And I was like, basically, I had this running through my head.
This is the dumbest shit anyone ever said in the history of, okay. And I don't think I'm exaggerating here, time.
Yeah.
Do you know what the bigger issue was, though, right? Because basically, yeah, Peter Parker then stops the drone in a creative way by creating diversions, right? Yeah, which he could have just said stop the strike, but he didn't do that. Anyway, the bigger deal is that when the drone actually fires... He actually jerks, like, he grabs the bus wheel, and yeah, yeah. And it basically hits railings on the side of a fucking mountain. Yeah,
almost killed everyone.
Almost kills everyone, and then recovers, right? And then after that, everyone's like, oh, yeah, so how's everything going? Yeah. Like, what the fuck? Everyone would be almost dying and fucking screaming, and they would stop the bus.
Even though the bus driver is Nick Fury's dude, is just like, yeah, whatever.
Yeah, no, look, that's the only thing, because if someone, like, shot a web at my wheel and then pulled it and then almost killed everyone, that would not be the last he heard of it.
No. That's a particularly silly moment, but you've just explained the big thing which I had a problem with in this film.
Yeah.
This is almost Iron Man 3 levels of...
I was drawing comparisons out of my asshole for this.
And if you love Spider-Man and you love the villain Mysterio, and of course, the whole way through this is my issue. I'm not a Spider-Man comic book reader.
Nor am I.
I don't know the character beyond what we've been presented in the film. I know of Mysterio.
Mm.
So to me, it was 100% obvious from the get-go that Mysterio / whatever Jake Gyllenhaal's character's real name is, was a bad guy.
Now, I suspected because I know Mysterio is a villain.
That's my point. Like, the film works really hard to show you that he's not a villain, but I'm like, but it's obvious it's going to turn on its head. Well, obvious.
It's because he was so perfect in the beginning. Yeah. That's what it was. If he had no edge whatsoever, he was just the best guy you ever met.
Yep.
So again, I enjoyed that.
And he fools Nick Fury and fools Agent Hill.
Well, does he though?
Which is, I deliberately said that.
Okay, let's get to that later. Okay. Like you said, Iron Man 3 does this thing where Ben Kingsley, the fucking, whatever, the Mandarin.
The Mandarin.
Yeah.
But at least he is
villain. Yeah, he turns out to be a fucking an actor.
Yes.
Right? In this thing, everything that you've seen is all an illusion. So it suffers from, like, that. Now, first of all, I liked Iron Man 3. I'm like the only guy who liked
Iron
Man 3.
You are one of the few.
Right? So
I didn't mind it, but I didn't love it either. Yeah. I'd put it very much on a par with this.
Iron Man 3 is slightly better than Iron Man 2, but Iron Man 2 isn't as bad as
Iron Man 2 is garbage.
I know, I saw it again recently. It's not that bad, I promise. Anyway, this one here, back to this. by making the whole thing kind of a joke, or at least an illusion, right, means that there was no actual threat. And this is why I say it was a brave decision, okay? To make the threat not actually a threat, but just, I just fooled everyone thing, means that all the heroes are bitches on some level. They're just like, you all got played, you know what I mean? So
yeah, I hear what you're saying. My issue, and I might have missed this. He needed Edith, that's what it was called, right?
Yep.
To weaponize the drones, which he had already somehow stolen and counter-programmed to project these elementals. And even the Mysterio flying around and fighting.
What I understand was that Mysterio, because he was a Stark Tech employee, had stolen enough of the drones to make his things.
To project it.
But he wanted Edith, he didn't have access to Edith, which is basically a world killer kind of thing.
But Edith weaponized the drones. Is that right?
No, I think he weaponized them with his own separate system, and then when he got control of Edith, he used it for everything.
Okay. In that case, I can...
No, that's...
But, like...
No, here's the problem with it, right?
He was shooting down towers, and if Spider-Man wasn't there, hundreds of people would have died, and I guess we...
Well, that's why he's a bad guy, see?
Yes.
And this is the problem. When you make the bad guy a fake bad guy, now how are you going to make him threatening? You got to make him actually kill people or be okay with killing people. And he does demonstrate that. Okay? Now, here's the actual problem in terms of what the system did, whatever. Tony Stark goes, okay, hands over this basically
world-killing god device.
Yeah, god machine to this boy, right? Here you go, it's yours, son. No problem. Now he gives that boy, like, oh, the boy can pass it on to anyone. Right. That's bullshit.
That is ridiculous.
That does not happen. Right? Yep. You don't design things like that. You know, I know we're supposed to give into it, and we do, all right? But if you allow that sort of thing to happen, you've got to back it up and say, Tony wouldn't do that.
No, and especially given that Tony is shown to have this foresight, he's so much more intelligent than everybody else in the world.
Exactly.
He perfects time travel.
Precisely.
So he can't see that this 17-year-old kid isn't going to want this responsibility, and I probably better make sure that if he doesn't want it, no one else can have it.
It's the only thing I can think of to
Except
justify.
Except Pepper Potts, maybe.
That's it. You give it to Pepper, or you give it to fucking...
Happy.
You give it to fucking Steve, or... Yeah.
Even Happy.
Even Happy... Eh. I don't know. He's too busy trying to bang at me. But
which, again, fairly funny. I like why they played that.
That was good. I mean, I don't buy it, but that was good. So,
how dare you? John Favreau finally hooking up after Swingers.
I adore John Favreau. That's true. That's true. In terms of whether that whole fake thing flew for me, I think it got like 80% there. Jake Gyllenhaal needed to now become more dangerous than those elementals for me to go, oh, shit, now I feel bad for Spidey. Do you know what I mean? Or now I'm scared for Spidey.
I was just like, get to the fucking point. Get to the turn, please.
And this is, really?
Yeah. And when we did, I'm like, yay, finally. And then we had some good sequences. We had that great sequence where we get to see the extent of these repurposed drones and what they can do. And Spider-Man is caught up in this world, doesn't know what's real and what's not. That was cool.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, we should mention that. That whole thing gave the movie another element. So by making it, I don't know, it's all illusion-based, but putting him in this all of a sudden this dark world where anything can happen, that is the most... like interesting element of like the design, because why would you, that made it like almost surreal, and this is an action movie for a kid kind of thing, and that was a cool thing about it.
It was beautiful.
Spiked it up a few points for me, I would say.
Okay, yeah.
Because without that, it would have been laggy. I don't know, something.
Yeah, I think it was great sequence. It really worked for me, and I also think what probably rescued the film a lot.
Yeah,
we'll come to it now. Is the end credit sequences. Never before have the end credit sequences been so important for a movie. So if you
turns everything on its
are own. Strangely enough sitting here and listening to this and haven't seen the film, you must watch the end credit ones, although we're about to spoil what happens in them. But if you saw the film and left for whatever reason, because you missed out, and you will explain it now, but check it out on YouTube, because I'm sure there's some bootlegs up there already.
Right. So the first end credit scene was what?
Well, it was he drops off MJ having swung her around. She says, I'm never going to do that again. And then we get to see...
That's right.
Again, I can't remember Jake Gyllenhaal's character's real name is, but Mysterio has filmed himself, and then some of his surviving team have re-edited the footage, so it looks like Spider-Man lets him be killed, and then...
is the bad guy.
...outs Spider-Man as Peter Parker.
That's right.
On national, international television. So,
a little J. Like Jonah Stark Jameson. Yeah. That was the shit!
J.K. Simmons pops up in a cameo.
J.K. Simmons, this is the thing. This is the old Spider-Man, J. Jonah. Yep. Like, oh my God, no one cared. It's like when M was fucking like the new James Bond's M and also the old James Bond's M.
Right.
Like, we don't care that they fucked up the timing. It's good. That was cool.
Well, I guess what we know from the Spider-Man animated film is that there is a multiverse. So... it could,
well,
you know what I mean? So it could all work still, technically.
Exactly. That. You're right. That makes it better.
So that was pretty great, I thought.
But then the final end of the credits already turned on the lights fucking section. Stay, people. I know you would have anyway, but stay.
It is 10 minutes or 11 minutes long, the credits.
It's bloody long. Go take a piss, though. I took a piss and came back. It was all good. All right? So anyway.
Wayne's pee-sized
that's right.
Bladder.
So this end credit sequence, you find out that the whole time through the movie, Nick Fury and fucking Maria Hill were Skrulls. In fact, they were Ben Mendelsohn and some other person.
Yep.
And they were fucking duping them the whole time. And you like, then at the end of the movie, they're in the car, they turn back into their Skrulls. Ben Mendelsohn reports into the real Nick Fury, who we then find out is what I assume is chilling on the same spacecraft that in Captain Marvel they found the Skrulls on.
Right.
Is that right? I don't know. That's what it looks like he's at.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't understand this shit. So wait a minute.
How long ago was Nick Fury changed? Is it the entire length of the Marvel Universe?
Well, Captain Marvel happened right before Endgame, so there's enough time for this to have happened, right?
No. Captain Marvel was set in the 90s.
But at the end, doesn't she come... Like, she finds Tony Stark because she comes back down to Earth.
Yes.
So at the end of Captain Marvel, it's in present day.
Yeah.
So that
He comes back.
Yeah, he went when he was young. I don't know what's going on. Where is he?
Yeah, so it completely throws...
Can anyone tell us?
Yeah. I mean, it's possible it could be read both ways, is what I'm trying to say. That the Skrulls may have swung back via Earth at some point, and Nick Fury's gone off on a holiday after the events of Avengers Endgame.
Yeah, the Skrulls are old at this stage.
But the original events of Captain Marvel, where that ship was spotted, were in the 90s.
It's in the 90s, you're right. Holy shit. Okay, well, you know what? The other thing is, why is Nick Fury... making them be Nick Fury? Did he just need a vacation like Spider-Man did? Oh, is that the irony? Is that what's going
Maybe.
On here?
Yeah, so there's a different ways to read it.
But how do you hand over the entire shield to some fucking alien?
This is fucking ridiculous.
I know.
I'm pretty sure Nick Fury wouldn't do that. But anyway, it was a fun revelation.
I didn't expect it, and I thought that was good.
Those two end credit scenes, for me, upped the film past the bare pass it was going to get.
That's true, because they could have put that in the ending, not the fake ending or whatever.
It's such important information. It's so critical going forward. I just want to say one other thing about the plot and the like. I was really disappointed that we didn't open up the Spider-Verse. We didn't get to the multiverse, which is where I thought we were going to get.
We can't do
from Mysterio coming in the film universe. I know we have in the animated ones. I know they're alluding to the fact the animated ones still exist within the multiverse within these films.
I reckon they're not
going to... There were going to be cameos from Tom Holland and Tobey Maguire and Andrew Garfield in the Spider-Verse movie, but they cut them at the end.
Really?
Yeah, in the original script, all three of them are in a cameo.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Boy, that would have been cool.
So they're existing within the same multiverse, if I can use that term.
Yeah, yeah.
It's all part of it. I would love it. I thought that's what Phase 4 was going to be. And now the X-Men can come over and now...
If they did... You know what? First of all, awesome. That sounds awesome. All right? But more importantly, if you're the producer, you're like, okay, Tobey Maguire, you know how no one fucking likes you in Hollywood anymore because you're an asshole as portrayed by Molly's Game? You come on board. Andrew Garfield. You know how you pissed us off that time when he did? I can't remember. He had some beef with...
Did he?
So it wasn't that. It was more that basically because the movies didn't go through. Even if there was a beef, right? These people are all like, okay, I want heaps more money now. You know, it's just going to be like a thing. And then can I be in the
I don't know
one?
Why they didn't, but anyway, it's fine. I just think they missed an opportunity there.
I reckon that they won't do the multiverse with the next Phase 4.
Like, oh, I hope they do.
I mean, I kind of hope they do as well, but like...
How else have we not heard about the fucking X-Men?
I want a multiverse where fucking Michael Keaton's Batman comes back, so does fucking Affleck, and so does motherfucking Christian Bale.
Wrong universe, dude.
I know, but I want that. Oh, that's a multiverse I can get behind. This one, I've seen everyone.
So DC exists sort of different, right, I see.
DC should just steal this idea. Word.
Yeah, you wonder if one day, way down the track, it's just going to be Marvel versus DC. They'll actually make that movie.
Well, they've made those comics for years.
Yeah.
So yeah, absolutely.
All right, well, that's pretty much all I have to say about Spider-Man Far From Home.
Me too.
What do you want to give it, Wayne? Final thoughts and your grade, sir.
69. Dude.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
Right on the Metacritic
right
score.
Right on the Metacritic score because it makes sense to me.
Yeah, I'm a little low. I'm 62.
62. Yep. Yeah, okay. Fair enough.
Three stars. Soft three stars for me.
Oh, so without the end scene, you'd have been like...
Oh, without those sub-60. Two. Yeah, it would have been 55, 54.
Jesus, it's not that bad, man.
I really hated the first half of this film. Without the little comedic bits to get me through, I would have thought this was an
there was
absolute
some
misfire.
Pacing problems for sure there because it was just became, da-da-da-da, we're going around Europe.
Yep, don't care. And I just don't fucking care. Get me to the point of Spider-Man.
That's right. We just want to come. Mm. Yeah.
That is it. That's our review of Spider-Man Far From Home. What did you think? Let us know if you are so inclined. You can do so on Twitter at TheCountdownPC, via email at thecountdownpodcast@gmail.com. You can visit us on our Podbean or website or via the app or indeed on the ccradio.com.au website where we share with some other great shows, Comic Confidential, Believe and Potterheads, and a new show coming very soon. Oh, and our Facebook listener community link is in the show notes. Join up if you haven't already. More than 300 fans of the show interacting, and it's a fucking cool place to get involved.
People be flay.
All right, that's it for us. My name is Paul.
My name is Wayne.
And this has been The Soundboard.
I stand resolute, motherfucker! All right.
It's no fun when he doesn't react, god damn it.
All of your arguments are like my asshole.
Yeah, you're an asshole.
We'll catch you next week.
See you guys.